So, good evening, everyone. My name is Julian Garner. I'm the Chief Executive of Tabip, and I'd like to extend a very warm welcome to this evening's masterclass with Paul Porter. Paul's going to be sharing his insights into using Braille input and output with an iPhone, and he's going to give some input and sort of kick things off, and then we'll open it up for a general conversation and a Q&A session. So, do contribute to that as the conversation continues. So, Paul, can I just ask you to kick off by giving a little bit of an introduction to yourself and your involvement with assistive tech?
Yep, thanks, Gillian. So I'm Paul Porter. Some of you know me, and I know some of you, which is good. Been using technology for, oh gosh, I mean, getting on 45 years. Started off at school with the Opticon, which some of us will remember and love. My first Braille device was the VersaBraille 1, which was an interesting device. That was back in 1985, and it looked a bit like a lunchbox, I think you could say. 20 cells, Braille keyboard, and it stored information on cassette. And hopefully everyone on the call knows what a cassette is, but you know. And that would kind of wind through to, and it stored pages of, I think it's about 4K of data, and you could get 200 pages on a cassette. And because a cassette is linear, it would kind of wind through and click and clunk, and you'd get to the bit of information you wanted. But at the time, of course, it was revolutionary because it was the first of its kind. You could actually write information, let's say in a lecture or a seminar. You could write down phone numbers. You could connect it to a printer. I then went on to a college and connected it to a mainframe computer to get input and output in Braille, which was quite exciting. When I started working with RNIB, I had a Power Braille, then moved on to a Brilliant from HumanWare, which lasted quite a number of years. Then I moved on to a Mantis from HumanWare, and I've got experience using the Orbit and various other devices. So I'm a fluent Braille reader. I use Braille, but I'm hoping there are people on the call who perhaps use Braille more in anger than I do on devices like the iPhone, because it is a very powerful medium. So hopefully we can have a really good discussion, ask questions. If I don't know the answer, I can always go away and find out and come back, because it's quite a powerful tool. It's got lots of functionality. We'll talk about my experiences, and it'll be good to, for everyone to share as well, ask questions. I do use Braille for reading. I use Braille for keeping notes. I've also got a Braille Sense 6, which you can use in standalone mode or again, connected to your iPhone for Braille input and output. But, as we all know, technology has really just revolutionized what we can do and how we do it in the last 50 years, but I think really in the last 10, 12, 15 years since the iPhone and Android devices became available, to be able to point your phone at something and have it read to you, or to have it come up in Braille, it would have been, I guess, science fiction 15, 20 years ago. But Braille, of course, is hugely important to those of us who use it. We had the Braille 200 anniversary last year, I think it was. I should just say I used to work at RNIB. I was in technology support for a long time and then part of the library team. But unfortunately, I was made redundant last year, which was really disappointing. But I guess that's the way the sector's going. Just so a couple of people joined recently. So the idea is I'll do a little introduction to Braille input and output, primarily on the iPhone, but some of the functionality is available on Android, and Android devices with Braille input and output is getting better. But my experience is really with iPhone, so we'll concentrate on that. And what I say about iPhone can, I think, be transferred to iPads as well, if you're using iPads. But we'll do a little introduction, talk about the various options, and then open it up to a discussion, question and answer section. Because it's Braille, there's a little bit I can demonstrate using voice, but I think it will certainly benefit me and hopefully everyone else if we have a discussion. And hopefully altogether improve our knowledge of Braille functionality on the iPhone. So very quickly, we'll get into the detail. We've got a few more people joining, so welcome. I've just done a quick introduction, but I won't repeat it because, as people join, it would get repetitive. But we're going to talk about the Braille input and output on iPhones, but you can transfer most of the information to using iPads as well. So what is Braille input and output? Well, there's two different kinds. If you have a Braille display that has a keyboard and has Bluetooth, most Braille displays you can now connect to your iPhone and use it as both an input method for controlling and writing on your iPhone and also getting Braille output from the iPhone. So you could turn VoiceOver off and just have information coming up in Braille. So you've got complete privacy and some people might find it a better way of getting output, having it in Braille rather than and speaking the information. You might want to use both. So that is an option. And the great thing about using Braille devices is that no matter what device you have, I think it's correct to say that all the commands are controlled from the iPhone. So the sequence of commands that you use to perform a function would be the same on an Albert as it would be on a Braillian and so on. So you don't need to remember different commands for different devices if you're lucky enough to have access to more than one Braille device. Connecting Braille devices up can sometimes throw people off because you pair it through VoiceOver and Braille function rather than from the Bluetooth function, which you would used to connect most external keyboards and so on. I don't know if anyone knows, but looking through information, it doesn't necessarily specify that. So you may now be able to connect through a standard Bluetooth function and then choose the Braille display from the Braille subsetting of VoiceOver settings, which is again a subsetting of settings. But feel free to correct me on that a little bit later on. So once you've connected your Braille display, you can pretty much perform any function that you would with the touch screen. So you can navigate around, you can jump from the top to the bottom of the screen, you can input data on an edit field, you can access the rotor, you can do all sorts of exciting things without having to touch the screen. And some devices now even allow you to unlock the phone from the external device rather than having to touch the screen. So it means you can have your iPhone in your pocket and your Braille device in your hand. And of course, a lot of Braille devices are now very small and pocket size. You've also got the Habbo One, which is a Braille input keyboard, but without Braille display, which again, is really small. And you can perform all the functions from the Habbo again rather than touching the screen, which some people might prefer. The other function that's really useful, and I don't use it as much as I should, but it's BSI and it's Braille screen input. And it basically turns your touch screen into a Braille keyboard. And you set this up again in VoiceOver settings. And the way that I think most people might access it is to set it up on the rotor, which again is a really powerful tool. For anyone who doesn't know what the rotor is, it's a function where you can take two fingers on the screen and move them around as if you're a bit like a dial. And you've got all sorts of functions that you can add. So you can change voices, you can increase the speed, you can if you're on a website, you can choose between links and headings. So once you get used to the concept, it's a very quick way of navigating around and using your phone and choosing different functions rather than having going into settings and doing it that way. It does take a bit of getting used to, but once you get used to the. So basically, you put two fingers on the screen, maybe a quarter of an inch apart, and then you just basically move one finger up and one finger down, keeping your fingers in contact with the screen, and that switches between the rotor options. And then to choose the rotor option, you flick one finger up or down to go through the options. So a very powerful function. If it's not set up already, you go into settings, voiceover, and then the rotor, and you can add rotor functions or remove rotor functions as you need to. And you can also move the position of a rotor feature, so you can muster all your what all the ones that you use more regularly together, because you might end up having maybe 15, 20 items on the rotor, depending on how you what you choose to add and remove. Once you've got your Braille screen input on the rotor, you what I would say is twizzle, using your two fingers, get to that option, and at that point, it will automatically turn Braille screen input on. And then you've got two modes of typing. You can have it in tabletop mode, where you would use it like a Perkins. So you'd have dot 1, 2, 3 on the left hand side and dot 4, 5, 6 on the right hand side. And you can then type in grade 1 or grade 2. And there isn't a space bar as such. So you would flick two fingers to the right to create a space. And you can flick two fingers to the left to delete a word, or one finger left to delete character by character. So it does take a bit of getting used to, and I'll demonstrate it in a moment. But once you've got used to the concept, I find it a much better way of typing than using the standard on-screen keyboard. And you can actually get up quite a good speed, because VoiceOver will confirm what you're typing. You can now have individual characters, or when have it word by word. And once you've got that set up, you can type quite quickly. You can use contracted Braille, you can use UEB Braille. So it's a very powerful tool. It also has a function called Command, which lets you control the iPhone as if you had a Braille display connected. Now, on a Braille display with a Braille keyboard, you navigate around the phone using what are called corded commands. And for anyone who's used a Braille display, that, for example, it means pressing the space bar in conjunction with a Braille key. So, for example, if you're on the home screen, you press space and L to get to the top of the or to get to the first option on the screen, and you press space and 4, 5, 6 to get to the end. You can move up through your options on the screen. Instead of flicking left or right, you press space and 1 or space and 4. Space and 1 moves you left, space and 4 moves you right. There's all sorts of commands that you use to get to where you want to be. But Braille screen input has an option called Braille Command, where you can actually control the phone in the same way, but you don't use a space bar. So, for example, on the home screen, you'd press L to go to the top, 4, 5, 6 to go to the bottom. And again, we'll run through a quick demo of that in a moment. So Braille is really powerful. You can go into VoiceOver and into Braille settings, and then have a look at the different keystrokes that are assigned. And you can also, if you're feeling brave, you can also assign your own keystrokes or touch input, I suppose you would call it, commands, to perform some. Not all the functions have an option. Not all the functions have a combination. And last year, I did a session on VoiceOver commands, where you can assign your own commands. So, for example, I've got my phone set up. The phone I have doesn't have a home button. So normally you would touch the bottom of the screen and move your finger up twice to get to the home, to get to home. But I've got mine set up so that I do a two finger flick right. Sorry, a two finger flick left takes me to home, and a two finger flick right takes me to the app switcher. And so I find that easier than trying to, touch the screen and move up. But, everyone might do things differently. But, VoiceOver in conjunction with touchscreen gestures in conjunction with Braille is a really powerful mode, and certainly for me, it makes typing that much faster and hopefully more accurate as well. Have we got any questions or any comments or any corrections so far that anyone might want to come in with?
Paul, it's Julian here. Just a quick query. Are there any differences between the different Braille displays themselves in the way that you talked about the difference between the Habel, for instance, and some of them, but between different Braille displays, do those functions tend to work the same?
So
Or there
yeah, pretty
differences
yeah.
between manufacturer
No,
devices?
pretty much once you've got it connected, and I think someone alluded to the fact earlier that sometimes it's a bit difficult to connect specific devices. Once you've got it connected, then all the commands are the same across different devices because it's the voiceover functionality that's controlling through the device. It's controlling, the phone. So yeah, no, I think they're pretty much standard across different devices.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else got any questions at this point? Matthew, come in. Yeah.
Oh yeah, I really just wanted to corroborate everything that Paul has said so far. I do use Braille screen input a lot, and I find it works really, really well. And it's quite funny when I'm in the room, when I'm training, and I'm quite often in a room with a blind person who doesn't know me, and I'm sending a quick text message. They don't realize that I'm using Braille screen input, and they think that I'm a sighted person texting on the on-screen keyboard. So you really can get up at a huge speed there if you practice often enough. I also just wanted to comment on that issue of compatibility with different Braille displays and which, whether the commands are the same. Yeah, the core voiceover commands are the same, whichever Braille display you use. So, space with dot four, space with dot one, space with H, they will be exactly the same whichever Braille display you use. Different displays have different buttons, so you might find that some of the extra buttons on the display do slightly different things just because some displays have four extra, the HumanWare displays have thumb keys on the front, the Focus displays have nav rockers, the Orbit displays have the little cursor cross in the middle. So because those controls are not standard, the things that they do are not standard either. But yeah, the core command set's usually the same.
Thanks, Matthew. That's really helpful. Good. Okay. Let's move on, Paul.
Thanks, Matthew. I was hoping you'd join, so thank you very much. But it is a hugely powerful tool, both on the phone itself with a touchscreen and connecting Braille devices. And it gives you that kind of privacy, and I've been in situations just using the phone in with a touch screen where I've had screen curtain on and someone's tapped me on the shoulder in the train and said, "Oh, your phone's off," because I've got an earpiece in and I'm touching the screen, and of course no one can see what I'm doing, and maybe I think, "Oh, poor chap doesn't know what he's doing, I can't see the screen," and so you have to say, "Well, yeah, and explain." So yeah, you're right, Marv. The same would be true of Braille screen it Braille input, because you can have a screen curtain on for that as well, so no one can see what you're doing, which I think is quite beneficial. But for me, yeah, certainly being able to type quickly is great. So
Two notifications
I'm
coming
just
up.
going to
Setting. Setting.
do a quick demo, Brendan,
Utilities folder. 17 apps. Input.
input.
Navigation folder. 31 apps. Notes. Notes. Note. Text field is editing. Alert screen recognition. Audio ducking. Text select headings.
So I'm just clicking through a rotor to get to Braille
Characters.
screen input.
Words. Lines. Speaking rate. Speech volume. Punctuation. Braille screen input. Landscape. Tabled landscape. Landscape. Tabletop mode.
So hopefully, if you can't hear it, let me know, because it's but it is fairly close to the mic. So I've got it in tabletop mode. So the phone's on flat on the desk. And it's exactly like a Perkins. You've got dots 1, 2, 3 on the left and 4, 5, 6 on the right. So I'm just going to type.
HELLO space LRTH space this IS space is A space A D E M O space OFTHE space off. T-H-E space the. B-R-L space S-C-R-E-E M space I-N-P-U-T input O-M space T-H-E space the. Dot six kappa I P-H-O-M-E full stop space I-X space it dot five W-S space looks V space very W-E-L-E dot 1 2 3 4.
So I made a mistake. I've put P instead of an L, second L. So, personally, if I was to type that on the standard Braille key, QWERTY keyboard on the phone, it would take me quite a bit longer. I mean, I know some people are wizards on the QWERTY, and I'm very fast understand the QWERTY, but I still find that bit more difficult on the touchscreen. Whereas with Braille input, once you get the hang of it, you can actually as hopefully as I've demonstrated, you can actually type quite quickly. If I go into command mode, so that's a three finger flick to the right, on the left hand side of the screen. And then I'm gonna press H twice.
App switcher. Notes active. Actions available. Notes space. Space. Oh, notes. Folder 31 notes FaceTime. Watch.
So I'm pressing what would be dot four with one finger.
Folder 30 calendar Wednesday weather folder 8 apps.
And then if I want to open the weather folder, I press what would be dot three and six.
Weather. BBC weather.
And then I've got various weather apps, so again I can open BBC weather.
BBC weather on. Audio ducking, capsate button, a mo chest at skimmage, 11 degrees, a clear sky, UV, pollution, then up Thursday, 13 Friday, 13 degrees, 5 degrees.
Button. So again, I'm flicking through the, as if I was flicking with one finger from right to left to go through the options on the screen.
That, 10 degrees, 4 degrees, button.
And then, if I want to get out of that, again, I just press H.
BBC weather.
And then H again to get back to the home screen. And I can do a three finger flick to the left to get back into Braille entry. And then to get out of Braille screen input altogether, again, I just use the rotor.
Actions, audio duck headings, characters, words, speaking rate, speech volume, 80% punctuation, Braille screen input, portrait, stopping Braille screen input.
So I went to Braille screen input on the rotor and then moved back an option on the rotor and it closed Braille screen input for me. So hopefully that's demonstrated that on the touch screen, it's a really powerful method of inputting Braille and inputting commands. As I say, I think it probably takes a little bit of getting used to because he also can calibrate the screen because I guess, you know, some people's fingers might have a different reach. But I tend to have my fingers kind of in the middle of the screen. You've also got away mode. So if you hold the phone with the screen facing away from
Braille
you.
Screen input. I reckon stopping Braille screen input. Braille screen input. Braille screen input. Landscape. Away mode.
So dot one would be.
Stopping Braille screen input.
Hang on. Oops.
Actions, audio duck headings, characters, words.
Let me just get back to a note again.
Set apps, weather calendar, media, work, fate, note, nav, utility, navigation, notes. Notes, note, text field. 92% battery power, not charging, status bar item. Secondary mobile service, cafe, page. Speaking rate, 6 speech volume, punctuation, Braille screen input, live recognition, scenes, off, stopping Braille screen input. Braille screen input, landscape, screen away mode, A.
So A dot one is at the top, and then so it's you're typing vertically rather than horizontally. So dot one is at the top, dot two, middle finger, dot three, third finger. So
A B C D E F G H I J K.
So yeah,
landscape screen away mode.
It's not sure how Martin, you might be able to describe it better, but screen away mode is it a bit like a for us old people. Is it a bit like a Stainsby input? I think I'm even too young for the Stainsby, but it's basically vertical typing rather than horizontal.
Landscape, landscape,
But when you
landscape,
put your phone
table.
flat again, it automatically reverts to desktop tabletop mode,
Speed.
which I think I find easier.
Well, very looks.
And I'm just
iPhone.
flicking through with two fingers to delete what I've typed. You can also use two fingers to flick up between the different translation modes.
System, English, UK, contracted, Liblaus, apostrophe, unified, contracted, English, UK, contracted.
And you can add different languages and different braille tables, so it is a really powerful function. Any questions, any thoughts?
Paul, what's have you any thoughts on the size of screen that works well with Braille input? Does it matter what size phone you've got?
I
Works
mean,
for you?
for me, and I think it's a purely personal experience. However, I'm using a touchscreen, be it using the standard gestures or using Braille input, I do like a smaller screen. I have used an iPad, but I found that just too big. But again, I'm sure you would get used to it. But personally, I wouldn't have an iPhone and an iPad because I think most of the functionality that you can do on an iPad, you can do on an iPhone. And the screen estate, excuse me, the screen estate is smaller. I mean, I've currently got a 17 Pro, which I've got used to, but even getting that initially, just I found the screen to be quite big. I had an iPhone 7 for a long time, for
Speed.
work,
Landscape.
which of course
Hardware.
was really small, and found that size better. But some people would say, yeah, I prefer the bigger screen. So it and of course, if you got some vision as well, the bigger screen might be, well, would be beneficial. But I think at the end of the day, it is a personal preference. But I tend to prefer the smaller screens.
Okay, thanks, Paul. We've got a hand up from Sandra. Sandra, do you want to come in?
Three things. Is there going to be a recording? Because I think I missed the part where you can orient how you orientate your hands to the screen. Because I wanted to see like which section of the screen the Braille keyboard is actually on.
This has been recorded, but I'll ask Paul to address that because I don't think we mentioned that specifically.
Yeah. It's the there is a there is a
Landscape cabell underscore.
There's a way of calibrating the screen to suit you, and
Okay.
can't remember what it is offhand,
Landscape. Speed.
but basically on
Landscape.
in so I don't know if you caught the point, the part, Sandra, but you've got tabletop mode and
Yeah,
desktop
I
mode.
heard that. Yeah.
Yeah, so in tabletop mode, I've got a so before I've got I would say ace. It's almost in the middle of the screen, both horizontally and well, basically the middle of the screen, yeah, up and down the left and right, if that makes sense.
So you've got the screen in landscape then.
Yeah, and I've got
So
the
the speaker that you'd have on your ear really is on your far left
that's right,
ish.
yeah.
And then A is in the middle based on that then.
Yeah. I would say, when I first started using it, it did take me quite a while to kind of get used to the thing that the finger layout and but it is once you get used to it, it is possible to type, quite quickly. And I as you've heard, I've got it so it's speaking every word, every character, and
Yeah.
every word. But you can have every word, or you can have no output at all if you're feeling brave enough to do that.
I definitely wouldn't. And my last question is about so if you have it on, could you use a Bluetooth keyboard to act as a Perkins keyboard?
No, you would need something like the Haybo, or a Braille display that's got but standard Bluetooth. No, I don't think
Oh,
you.
right, okay.
Yeah, I don't think you could.
Oh, well.
A useful function. I've had situations where I've had a Braille display connected and I've disconnected it, but when you then try to use the iPhone to type something in an edit field, it says the keyboard's hidden, and you would need
Right.
to again reconnect the Braille display, and there's a cord SH contraction which unhides the keyboard. But if you go to the home screen, for example, and then go to Braille input and choose command, you can then do the SH sign on its own and it will unhide the keyboard. Then you close Braille input and then you can use the phone normally. That's only something I picked up recently when I was playing around for this session. It is a really powerful mode, but I don't think you would be able to use a use a standard, like QWERTY keyboard to type in Braille. If
Yeah,
anyone
I'm
knows
just going
anything
back to
different,
I'm just going back to the days of, mega dots and things, where you could actually do that. So the letters, I
That's
think,
right.
A to F and J to semicolon were effectively the Braille
But
keyboard, and spacebar was space and
I would say once you've got used to it, then you can do it all on the screen. And as I say, I actually find it more comfortable writing in Braille than using the QWERTY keyboard, which I can do, of course, but it just means you can type faster.
Okay,
Thought
thanks very
about
much.
have you thought about when we used to have iPhones, you could get these cards and that the actual numbers were marked and various other things were marked. Have you thought about, for the training purposes, it might be better to get one of these cards and where you actually have a dot, a 1, 2, 3, 7 and 8, 4, 5, 6, and so you would again get used to it, because the layout and moving your hands on the screen can be quite critical. And I certainly found that when you have to set it up by putting your six fingers in it and the creating the dots, so that was all over the place. That was very difficult. And I assume that now it's in a more fixed position. But it might be worth, doing that to help people overcome the initial difficulty.
Yeah, I don't have any experience of them myself, and I think that as with everything with technology, the Braille input's got a lot better,
Yes.
and I think it's much more accurate. Yeah, do you mean it's like an overlay that you stick on the screen?
Yes, yeah, they used to have an overlay you could put on the screen, which would t tell you where the f a five was and in numbers and a certain key strokes, which was helpful because you do have to get used to being a right position on the screen. Otherwise, you can get dots that you don't want. And also, when you're turning it off, I believe there's a rotor command on the Braille display, isn't there, to turn it off, which might be quicker.
So you should,
Seven and eight, isn't it, or something like that
yeah,
on
I mean,
the yeah.
personally, I just move away from the Braille screen input on the rotor.
Yeah, yeah.
But as with a lot of stuff, there's lots of different ways of doing it, and people on the call might have a better way of doing it or a quicker way of doing it. And hopefully we're all learning from each other. I mean, personally, I think it's, and again, this is a purely personal view. I don't think I'd like a sort of dots on the screen that you can feel, because it would only be appropriate in different, in particular settings, like, for example, the Braille screen, Braille screen input. Otherwise, it might sort of get in the way when you're trying to use a phone, let's say, QWERTY functionality, for example. But it's
Yes,
an
yes.
interesting idea, and I guess at the end of the day, it's whatever works for you, or for an individual.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen Dave Williams use it, and he's amazing.
Okay, we'll see if we can find if someone can recommend where that might be got from, then that would be useful. Matthew, you've had your hand up for a little while, so I'll bring you in now.
Hello. Yeah, the screen overlays were called speed dots, and I don't want to say too much more at this point, but I know they were bought out by another organization, and I know that production is very near. So keep an eye out for those because they might be making a comeback fairly soon. As for the question I really wanted to come in and answer was Sandra's one about using a QWERTY keyboard to input Braille. You can do it, but it was brought into iOS 18 with no fanfare. It was put in really quietly halfway through the release cycle. It came in about February time. Nobody really talked about it, and it's one of those things that's really hard to find unless you know how to find it. In theory, if you have a Bluetooth keyboard connected, you should be able to press the voiceover key and the letter Y. So it's Control Option Y or Caps Lock Y. I've no idea why it's Y. It just is. And that should turn on a mode called Braille Keyboard Input. And if you have Braille Keyboard Input turned on, then yeah, exactly as Sandra described, the FDS would be dots 1, 2, 3, and JKL would be dots 4, 5, and 6. And you can use a QWERTY keyboard to enter text that way. The particular use case for it that I think got it into the product in the first place was the Mantis. There were people who had Mantis Braille displays that occasionally wanted to write in Braille rather than in QWERTY. And so it came along. For some reason, I've seen a few users, including myself actually, where that gesture, that keyboard shortcut never got assigned. So people told me about it and I tried pressing Control Option Y and it didn't work. And I actually had to go into VoiceOver settings and reassign it manually. And I've no idea why. So if you fall foul of that, you may have to do it. Go into settings, accessibility, VoiceOver commands, and have a look for Braille keyboard input and turn it on. And how well it works will depend on the keyboard that you have. There's a technical term called key rollover, which has to do with how many keys can your keyboard support press down at the same time. And some keyboards will only support, say, 3 or 4 keys pressed down at the same time. So if you try and do an off sign or a with sign or a for sign, you might find that some keyboards will cope better than others. But yes, theoretically, it's possible, it's just really, really well hidden.
Thanks so much for that. That's brilliant.
Well,
And
thank you, Matthew. I've learned
what about
something.
seven, what dot 7 and 8 is a dot 7 and whatever the
Yeah,
next well
and
is a dot eight?
semicolon. Yeah, semicolon is dot
Okay,
eight.
right,
Yeah,
yeah.
so and they I'm pretty sure they work as backspace and enter as well. If you're typing a text message in Braille, it's the most surreal feeling, but I'm pretty sure you can press A if you've typed something wrong. You press A to backspace it
Yeah,
out.
I'd find that really good, I think. I think that's a really easy way to do it.
Good. Thanks, Matthew. It's really helpful. Chantelle, hello. Yeah, you've got your hand up. Do you want to come in?
Yes, thank you. Hi, everyone. Just to add to the point about the positioning of the hands on the screen. So, as far as I understand it, when you're in Braille screen input mode, the entire screen becomes an area in which you can use your Braille, Braille screen input, your Braille screen input area. So, when we talk about calibrating the dots or making sure that the dots are in a good position for our hands, that means that basically when we're typing out the dots will pick up the position of our fingers. It used to not be terribly accurate in previous versions of iOS, but it's great now at picking up the position of your hands. So if you've got larger hands, you might prefer to have position them slightly further apart, or perhaps slightly closer together is more comfortable for you. But the dots will dynamically move themselves based on where they think, where the screen picks up that you're pressing dots. And so the entire screen turns into a Braille screen input surface, and you know your hands might feel comfortable in a slightly off center position. Wherever your fingers end up will be where the dots end up positioning in themselves. And sometimes what happens is they get a little bit out of alignment, so you need to recalibrate them. I can't remember the keys, combination to recalibrate them, because I find that for me, my hands are roughly in at the same position most of the time. But yeah, they dynamically shift to the position of your fingers on along the entire screen.
Yeah, to calibrate, you press the 4, 5, 6 together, and then you let go, and then you press L very quickly, and it'll calibrate.
Can I ask what happens if you make a mistake? Does it make a noise? It's Carol.
It will do if it's if you're timing something it doesn't, I guess it doesn't recognize, but again, personally, I've got it so that as I'm typing letter by letter, it's reading that back to me. Or I can have it word by word, or as I say, you can have it completely off.
Yes.
But I think initially, if you've never used Braille screen input, it would be good to have character by character because that will give you the confidence
Yeah.
to type faster and faster.
I keep meaning to try it, but I just don't feel the confidence yet.
Can I come in here? I'm afraid I don't know the command for raise your hand and Zoom.
That's right. Carry
Perhaps
on.
it's Anna. We obviously a lot of us are asking, how do you do this? How do you do that? Are there any places where we can find command lists and where we can look them up, hopefully without having to use our iPhone if we want to actually learn either Braille input, Braille screen input, or like I have a Braillion 20 that is actually connected. Well, I have connected it to my iPhone, but I haven't used it very often because I don't know the commands, and I haven't really found anywhere easy to access where I can sort of access the commands and then learn them. So a lot of us are asking very specific things. How do you do this? How do you calibrate? Blah, 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 blah. And I think it'd be really useful to know where these lists of commands can be located.
In the next couple of days, I'll send out a short document with some links. So places like Apple Viz have information, Apple support has information, with all the all different commands, both for Braille and Braille screen input and also when you're connected to the when you've connected the device. So Julian will send it out tomorrow or next couple of days once I get them together.
Yeah, that'd be
But
good to share those.
there are lots of resources. And as I say, it is quite a, if you go into VoiceOver and look at the Braille functions, it is quite daunting. But once you've got it set up and, in your rota, it's very easy just to flick around and start using Braille in Braille screen input. And if you get completely stuck, you can turn VoiceOver off and on again, and it will revert back to standard input, which I've done occasionally. But so you shouldn't get into a deep hole that you can't get out of. Touch wood, but it is easy just to turn VoiceOver off, turn it on again, and you're back to normal.
Okay,
Or,
that's cool.
as I say, you can use a rotor to flick away from Real screen input, and that should turn it off as well.
Just want to say thanks, Chantal, for your contribution. That was very helpful.
Yeah.
Other support, just thinking, are there other topics you wanted to cover? I just wondering about Android, whether there are any differences in using it with Android that you're aware of, and maybe others who are Android users might have any comments on that.
To be honest, I haven't really done m much at all with Android as far as Brilliant's input concerned. I don't know if anyone else has, but again, it's getting better with each Android release. And I think I'm right in saying it also has a Braille input function on the screen as well. But
Don't anyone else like to come in on that?
well, I'm also not an Android user, but we did a little bit of work on it at the Braillists a few years ago. And at that time, the feature was called Android Braille Keyboard or TalkBack Braille Keyboard. And it was very similar, yeah, to what you've just described, Paul, on the iPhone with Braille screen input, except that it's installed as a proper keyboard rather than having to go into a special Braille screen input mode. Like you change to the emoji keyboard or you change to numbers or whatever. You would change to the TalkBack Braille keyboard, and at that point, it would occupy the whole screen, and you'd turn the screen in landscape or whatever. So it was slightly separate from TalkBack, but did pretty much the same sort of thing. That was a few years ago. I don't quite know where it's gone from there. But if you've got an Android phone and you want to know where to start, then TalkBack Braille keyboard would probably be a good thing to search for.
Thanks, Matthew. It's very helpful.
Well, can I ask, away mode, is that similar to using an Able One keyboard?
Yeah, I
Do
think.
you pick it up and you're holding the phone away from your hands? So
Yeah,
you.
so you've got it. I mean, basically, I've got it here. I've got it, just on my chest, and I've the charging ports to the left, and you then type. So it is similar. It is the same as the Able, isn't it? So you the dot one's at the top, dot two's down, dot three's down, and then on the right hand side, you've got dot 4, 5, 6, vertically.
Yeah, thank you. I think I'd find it quite difficult using the phone rather than an Able One. It's very light, and you've got a wrist strap that you can use it safely. Whereas, if you accidentally dropped your phone, you've dropped your phone, haven't you?
Yeah, I
Doing it
mean,
that way.
you're right, David. It is, and it's what people feel comfortable with.
Yeah.
There's so many different ways of inputting. I mean, voice recognition Siri is getting better and better by the day, and I've started using that a lot more than I used to, and it's pretty accurate even with my Scottish accent. So it's there's so many different ways of accessing the phone, controlling the phone, or just technology in general.
David, how much is the Hable roughly at the moment?
Oh, it might be on offer, but it's £200 to £300, and it's not cheap.
Not insignificant, no.
No.
But I mean, they do keep doing sort of special offers, and I mean they're now doing a label device, aren't they? Speak Label or something, Hable One. Using NFC tags, so that's the recent thing from Hable.
Yeah, and you've also got the Orbit Router, which is a similar thing, but
Yeah.
I think the keys on that are Perkins style, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, you've got to use it desktop again. You can't use it on the move. And the thing I found about the Orbit Router is that it didn't keep its charge very long. It went down within days, whereas the Hable One, it lasts for months and months, and you just get it out, and it's not just a braille input. You control your phone with it. You like you said, you don't have to get your phone out at all. You can unlock it. You can do everything from it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's come up at £192 on the Hable website at the moment.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, and
What
again, in sorry, yeah, carry on.
I find is that sometimes on my Focus 40, I can either just pick up my phone and put it near it and it just starts off, or sometimes it just comes up and other times it doesn't. And it seems to be pretty unreliable because particularly if you are doing something and you're reading something in your newspapers and you want to actually find out what the particular name of, let's say, for shares, for example, you want to find out the name because it hasn't pronounced it properly or how to spell it. It's quite difficult then to just get the Focus 40 to react reliably. Sometimes it will and sometimes it won't. And I spoke to the Irish guy from Ireland and I said, "What do we do about it?" He said, "You just have to put up with it." That was his answer. That Freedom Fund scientific solution.
Yeah, I think what's happened in the past, as the sort of technology has developed, it's some bits have been broken in different versions of iOS, and then have fixed it, and then something else has stopped working. So,
Yeah,
it
yeah.
is always a work in progress. And I think often it's not the fault of the braille display manufacturers. It's the implementation on iOS, for example, that some part may have got broken on an update, then they bring out another update and it's fixed, and then something else is broken. So yeah, it's and I guess it's like, as apps are developed, something might break and then it's reported and fixed. We had an issue with Audible recently where you couldn't activate the mini player, and that was fixed in a couple of days. So, it's always good to give feedback to either app developers or, Apple directly if it's a voiceover issue.
Can I just ask whether you want to focus fourth gen or fifth gen, or third gen for that matter? Do you know which
Fifth.
gen? Yeah, it's a fifth gen. Okay. So, it's to do with how Apple does Braille. The basic problem is that every time you lock your phone, the Braille display is forced to disconnect from the phone, which means every time you unlock your phone, the Braille display then has to reconnect to the phone. And obviously, it drains the battery for the Braille display to constantly be looking for a phone that it can't connect to. And so your Braille display will try and connect and go, well, I can't be bothered. I can't find it. I'll come back in 10 seconds and try again. Oh, I can't find it. I'll come back in 10 seconds and try again. And so, and the number of seconds is, I don't know what the number of seconds is. I've made up 10 seconds. It might be 10 seconds, it might be 30 seconds, but if you catch it at the beginning of that cycle, let's say it's a 30-second cycle, and you unlock your phone at second number two, you've then got to wait 28 seconds before the Braille display tries again to try and connect to the phone because it's disconnected. The reason why I asked about the generation of focus is because Apple doesn't do this with HID Braille displays. And I don't really want to get into the weeds of HID Braille displays because you could do a whole masterclass about HID Braille displays. But they're a specific class of Braille display which gets treated differently by iOS compared to regular Braille displays. And there was a firmware update for the fifth generation Focus displays, which allowed Focus Braille displays to work as HID Braille displays. Where they previously didn't. So it only came out probably oh gosh, I can't remember. Was it just before Christmas? It was
Oh,
very
wow.
recent. It was either this year or the tail end of last year.
Yeah.
And the upgrade process is a bit of a faff. And iOS, last time I tried it, iOS's support for the Focus in HID mode was quite patchy. I think iOS has probably tidied it up now. But basically, your mileage may vary, but it might be worth trying to install that firmware update and getting your focus into HID mode and seeing if the
What are
connectivity.
HID? Which Braille displays have HID mode?
Well, so the Focus fifth is now, after a software update. The HumanWare displays are HID, so the Brilliant are HID displays, the Mantis is an HID display. I can't remember whether the eMotion is it's HID on USB and not on Bluetooth or the other way around, and I can't remember which way around it goes. But yeah, there's a few of them. Most of them aren't. But excuse me, what I was really getting at was try upgrading your focus to the latest firmware.
Well, because it's a bit expensive to change a Braille display.
No, well, I said it's a free upgrade. It's a free
No,
talk
I
to.
know, but you know what I mean. If you sort of, oh, it works well on the Brilliant, you don't think I can just discard my Focus and buy a Brilliant?
No,
It's quite.
absolutely. I think what I was really meaning was the last time you spoke to Stuart in Ireland, the last
Yeah,
time you spoke to him, that
that
feature
was a
may
year
not have
ago. Yeah,
been, yes, it may not have been available. So
yeah.
talk to Stuart again and see if he can
Yep.
talk you through getting it connected as an
Great.
HID
Oh, you've
display.
cheered me up. Yeah,
And
yeah.
that might it might sort it out or it might not. But if it doesn't sort it out, you can always revert it back.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks very much.
I think we've had a comment from, is it Adele, Julian? Would you be able to read that back?
Yes, I wasn't sure if it needed a response, but it's a Braille display like Focus or Brilliant that she uses responds differently on an iPhone than on a PC screen. I suppose as VoiceOver is Apple's version of the screen reader.
Yeah, I mean
It behaves it, rather than JAWS or MBTA, they behave differently.
Yeah, I mean they are different systems, different ecosystems, I suppose you could call them. But again, if you're using Windows and something like JAWS, then and I think again with the different Windows screen readers, the functionality is pretty similar. But we are focusing tonight on pretty much the iPhone and using Braille on the iPhone. So it is a But some of the recorder commands will be the same, because the recorder commands go way back to, as I mentioned at the beginning of the VersaBrille. And I think most of the manufacturers, who develop braille displays and devices, the functionality is similar. Moving around documents, for example, some devices, of course, have what some companies call them thumb keys, but some are called panning keys. But they essentially let you move around without using the recorder commands on the braille keyboard. But again, there you might find it varies from device to device, but usually the recorded commands, from device to device are the same, because that's using the iOS voiceover to give you the feedback when you press the keys together.
Okay, thanks, Matthew. That's really helpful. Well, are there any? We're at 8:30 now, so we're happy to wrap up now, unless there are any final questions from anyone. It's been a very helpful discussion. If you have any other topics that you would like Tabit to run a session on, then do drop us an email. It's also always helpful to know what would be helpful and interesting for you. So do get in touch. With the recording of this, which we'll send out in the next few days, we'll attach Paul's list of reference material. So again, if you know of any good resources that you'd like to share out to others, drop me an email and I can add that to the list that we send out.
Thank you, Julian. I would just, again say that particularly with Braille screen input on the touch screen, I think you'll be, if you haven't tried it yet, you'll be pleasantly surprised. And if you get into it and you as I say, you struggle, then just turn VoiceOver on again, and you're back to where you were. So, you can't damage your phone. You can't get into a situation where you're unable to get out of it. Give it a try, and as I say, I think you'll be pleasantly surprised at how quickly you start. If you're a fast braillist, braille writer, in any case, then that skill will transfer to the touch screen, I think, quite readily.
I also think that on the Braillist Foundation website, there is a tutorial on Braille screen input. Matthew will no doubt correct me on that, but there was one done about 2 years ago, which would be still relevant for people.
Thanks, David. That is still there. We're having a few problems with the Braillecast website at the moment, which that points to. So don't try and download it just yet, because you'll get an error message, but it is still there, and we will, when that's fixed, then that download will reappear and will still be relevant. The other resource, hot off the press, is Judy Dixon has written a book about Braille screen input, which I'm delighted to say National Braille Press has just agreed to publish. So I think they announced that today or yesterday or something like that. But yeah, if you want it, it'll cost a bit of money, but not very much. I think it costs about $14 or something, and you can get it as a downloadable version. So that would also be one worth considering if you wanted something in written form.
Is that available now, Matthew?
I think so. As I say, they only announced it, I
Yeah,
mean,
I think it was
literally.
yesterday, wasn't it?
Yeah, I can't remember. It was either yesterday or today. So I think it's available. If it's not available now, it will be
Very
available
shortly.
very, very soon. Yes.
Okay, we'll see if we can give a reference to that, a link to
Yeah,
that.
it would certainly be useful to have all these links to these things, because it can be quite daunting, sort of being a bit in the dark, and sort of you have to look for this in this place and that in a different place. So it'd be quite helpful to have a bit of a comprehensive list of resources.
Yeah, we'll do that, and we'll look at putting that onto the our Tabit knowledge base as a reference point, and we'll perhaps link up with Matthew and sort of share resources on it.
Where do we find that? Do we
Well,
get a link in an email, or do we
yeah. So
just
when we share the recording, you'll get a link to it. And I on the Tabit website, there's a section called Knowledge Base, and we will put the details about the recording on there, and then that will have a link to an MP3 file or an audio boom file. So
Okay,
yeah,
thank you.
good. All right. Well, thank you very much, everyone. We'll call it a night there. Thank you, Paul, so much for running the session, for putting time into planning it and organising it, and pulling the resources together. So thanks for your time, and thanks to everyone who's contributed. It's been a really good discussion, and we look forward to seeing you again soon.
Yep,
So
thanks
yeah,
all. It's been good. Thank you.
lovely. Thanks so much, everyone, and
Yeah,
have a
thank
good night.
you.
Cheers. Thanks all.
Bye.
Bye bye.